I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio is Wendy Scott, the Development and Marketing Manager for Delaware Wildlands. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, Paul.
So glad to have you here to talk about, a really exciting event coming up, the third annual Bald Cypress Bluegrass Festival, but also to talk about Delaware's wildlands and sort of the role your organization plays in preservation and ecology and the environment here in Delaware. Let's start with that. Delaware Wildlands, an organization that may be familiar to some of our listeners, but may not be.
Well, Delaware Wildlands is the oldest and largest conservation organization in Delaware. We were founded in 1961, and we now own and manage more than 21,000 acres throughout the state of Delaware, and all three counties, significant holdings in all three counties. And our mission is really about protecting the clean air, pure water, wildlife habitat, and also the traditional uses of the lands that, Delaware's culture and history as well.
Now, what is the 21,000, did you say, acres? That's parceled out in different properties throughout the state. Is that correct? And if so, what's kind of the range of the types of properties?
So in most of our lands, we really focus on trying to be strategic about the lands that we own. So most of our lands are either, when we purchase new lands, they are contiguous to lands that we already own so that we're expanding that habitat, or they are strategic lands that maybe are lands that bridge to other properties that are protected by the state or other partners. So for instance, in Kent County, Milford Neck, which is a 10,000-acre contiguous area that we manage jointly with the state of Delaware and with the Nature Conservancy. But it includes 9 miles of pristine beaches, completely undeveloped, and marshes and coastal forest, as well as some agriculture. So it's one of these things where you've got this you can be whizzing down Route 1 and not realize that just a little bit to the east is this place where suddenly it is completely undeveloped. You won't have any cell phone coverage. There are no streetlights. You really are in a wild place in Delaware. And so we're recording this in the spring, and we're getting ready for the horseshoe crab migration. The shorebird migration, the horseshoe crab spawning that's going to happen on those beaches. And those beaches at Milford Neck are some of the most important beaches on the planet for for horseshoe crabs and for this amazing place where the shorebirds are arriving from South America hungry and tired and looking for food, and the horseshoe crabs are laying their eggs on the beach at the same time. These two species that completely depend on each other. It's pretty amazing that we have that right here in Delaware.
And I seem to recall that Delaware is noted for its piping plovers. Is that correct? Aren't they shorebirds?
Yes. one of the sort of poster child for the shorebirds is often the red knot, which is this little teeny tiny bird that comes from Tierra del Fuego in the wintertime and flies 6,000 miles to get here. And by the time they get here, they're really emaciated and exhausted. And when they arrive, the beaches are covered with these little tiny green eggs from the horseshoe crabs that are high protein and high fat foods that they can bulk up on, because they're going to fly all the way to the Arctic to lay their eggs.
Wow.
They're just little birds.
It's amazing. Now, Delaware Wildlands has been around since the early 60s, so it's almost 60 years old as an organization.
Yep.
How has its work changed or evolved over time based on the various pressures that Delaware's wildlands face?
Well, one of the things that has stayed consistent with Delaware Wildlands and I think sets us apart from a lot of other conservation organizations is that even from the early days, our founders, Ted Harvey was our founder, and you may still know his name from places like the Ted Harvey Conservation Area. He's really a, a leader and amazing person in Delaware's history as well as our organizational history. But part of the early founders, the folks who came together in the early days, decided that the best way to protect land would be to purchase it. So some other conservation organizations use a lot of other strategies, conservation easements and agreements with local partners. And those are important strategies, but what we like about purchasing the land is that it really allows us to do long-term management and really thinking about how we want to we do a lot of restoration, habitat restoration on our properties. We still, as I mentioned, do a lot of traditional use on our lands. So we do farming, we have hunting, we have sustainable forestry, trapping, those types of things that support the local economy of the communities, as well as we are able then to work with the folks that are continuing those uses on our lands and be able to manage how those are done so they're done in a sustainable way.
That's interesting. So it's not like these 21,000 acres are laying idle. They're actually being used in some.
Yes, absolutely.
In some cases.
And so these lands are privately owned, so they're mm-hmm. not open to the public. We don't maintain trails. We're not a park. Mm-hmm. But the lands are still very much part of the local communities. And so it allows us, for instance, with our hunters, we have hunters that help us manage the land. We are also managing things like managing the deer herd mm-hmm. so that we can have a sustainable level of deer on the property, on the lands, but also make sure that they're not getting out of balance and creating issues with the ecology and with overbrows but they're still good hunting on the property. It's, mm-hmm. it's sort of like figuring out what that balance needs to be.
Right. Now, does Delaware Wildlands get involved in some of the current issues we read about, such as offshore drilling, offshore windmills, fertilizer runoff from the agricultural community?
So we're not an advocacy organization. Okay. We really are focused on land protection, land management, conservation, restoration. However, historically, the work that we have done has actually had a really important role. Mm-hmm. So when one of the early things that galvanized the folks around founding Delaware Wildlands in the very early days was the fact that Shell Oil was planning on building a major refinery right on the coast. And the folks in Delaware Wildlands, our founders, were concerned that this was really going to dramatically change the landscape and the ecology. Mm-hmm. And they started purchasing small parcels within the area that Shell had their eye on to build that refinery, to the point that they sort of made Swiss cheese of their plan. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it was a long, drawn-out fight. Eventually, Shell Oil pulled out, but that was years of fighting in the courts. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Governor Peterson, Russell Peterson, mm-hmm. realized that this was only going to be the first of many fights. And so he turned to Ted Harvey and the folks at Delaware Wildlands and said, I'm going to need you to help me put together the Coastal Zone Act. Mm-hmm. So that's what Delaware Wildlands was very much instrumental in helping establish the Coastal Zone Act, which now is one of those things that has made the coastline of Delaware one of the most beautiful places along the entire eastern seaboard.
And actually has had an impact on coastlines on both the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the federal Coastal Zone Act was written after Delaware's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So Delaware Wildlands continues to acquire property?
We do. Okay. We do. Sometimes it's donated to us. We just had a family down in Sussex County that donated 160 acres that was contiguous to our land in the Great Cypress Swamp, expanding that. In Newcastle County, it's about 2 years ago now, we purchased almost 1,250-acre farm right near the Taylor's Bridge area. And mm-hmm. there's not a lot of farmland, large blocks of farmland left in Newcastle County. So that was something we had had our eye on for more than 20 years, mm-hmm. sort okay. of working, building the relationship with the family and trying to figure out how we were going to put the funding together for that. So that was something that was a major celebration. And it allowed us, again, it was very, not only was it an important parcel to protect right along the Blackbird Creek, Appaquinimic River area, but it was also something that was strategic when it was 1,250 acres in one purchase, but it was also a puzzle piece within a larger 10,000 acre contiguous mm-hmm. area mm-hmm. of land that is owned by Delaware Wildlands and owned by the state. So from a bird's eye view, literally, it's just created just this amazing protected area of 10,000 acres that is permanently protected in an area that's one of the fastest growing areas in the state.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now I want to turn to the Bald Cypress Swamp and the upcoming Bluegrass Festival, but first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest today in the studio is Wendy Scott, the Development and Marketing Manager for Delaware Wildlands. Wendy, tell us a little bit about Bald Cypress Swamp, a land feature in Delaware that I suspect their Delawareans don't even know exists.
So the Great Cypress Swamp is really quite an amazing landscape. At one time, we think that there were probably dinosaurs who roamed through the area a long time ago, and it was as big as 60,000 acres on the Delmarva Peninsula. It's much smaller now with development and drainage for agriculture and things like that. But it's the northernmost cypress swamp. Folks may be familiar with other larger cypress swamps in places like North Carolina and Virginia, but this is the most northern of this type of habitat. And it really does feel like the Deep South when you go in there. Mm-hmm. The cypress trees with their knees sticking out of the water and that sort of thing. But Delaware Wildlands over the last 50 years has very carefully put together the majority of what's left of this habitat. And we own 10,600 contiguous acres of the Great Cypress Swamp. And it, when you fly over it, I mean, it's forest and treetops as far as the eye can see in all directions, which again is not what people think about when they think about Sussex County. Mm-hmm. It sits right on the Delaware-Maryland line. In fact, we have some acreage into Maryland. It sort of straddles the state line there, right in the middle of the bottom edge of Sussex County. And our Bald Cypress Bluegrass Festival is one of the ways that we want to bring people to this place where they can have a destination, have a fun day where they're having some great music and a fun festival with food trucks and craft vendors and games. And during the festival, we also run looping bus tours through the forest, so you get a chance to actually experience, you know, kind of have a guided tour through the forest, then come back and listen to some more music.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, this is the third annual Bluegrass Festival. Tell us a little bit about how the program has evolved over the last couple of years and sort of what was the original brainchild behind this?
Well, we have some people on our staff who are really hardcore bluegrass fans. Mm-hmm. And bluegrass is something that is kind of a traditional music and, you know, comes out of the culture of the Southern Delmarva. So it's one of those things where we felt like it was an interesting way for us to sort of respect the cultural history of Delaware and also create an event that people would come to see, come and see something that isn't normally open to the public, because our lands are privately owned and we don't have trails through them, but we do want to have people have an appreciation of what's so special in this amazing place. One of the things that's so important about the Great Cypress Swamp is that because of where it's located and right smack in the middle of the Delmarva Peninsula, the headwaters that flow out of there flow both to the Chesapeake Bay and to the Delaware Bay. So it's, as the waters are filtered, it's like this giant sponge that filters water that then flows in both directions, creating healthy, quality water, which is such an important issue for both of our bays and for both of the communities that are along those tributaries that flow into the bays.
As you just mentioned, a very important reason for preserving wetlands, and that is that whole filtration system.
Right.
Could you speak to that and what we see happening in the Delmarva Peninsula related to the wetlands?
So one of the things that we've done at the Great Cypress Swamp, it's also the location of our largest wetlands restoration project. We've been doing some over the last few years, doing major wetlands restoration, where we are allowing the Cypress Swamp to start to accumulate water and to filter water again. When we first purchased it, it was pretty dry and dusty, and had been thoroughly drained. And we have been allowing the drainage ditches, actually putting in water control structures in some of the ditches, so we can hold the water back. Mm. And when there are really big storms, it allows us to prevent water flowing out of the swamp that might be causing flooding downstream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're actually allowing that to hold in. And at the same time, the animals and the wildlife are rediscovering the swamp and are just thriving. There are species there that are thriving that you don't see in other places anymore, that mm-hmm. used to be more prevalent in other parts of the state or other parts of the Delmarva.
What are some of the wildlife that are kind of unique to the wetlands?
Well, we have this time of year, there is just this tremendous frog chorus, with just a lot of amphibian life. Mm-hmm. They are some rare species. The red-headed woodpecker for the birders, a lot of places red-headed woodpeckers are in decline, and we are actually seeing them increase.
Hmm.
So they're finding that to be a really happy place. We do sustainable forestry in the forest, but at the same time, we're also planting trees. So since 2011, we have planted more than 200,000 trees.
Wow.
And that just kind of gives you an idea of the scale of what we're talking about.
Which helps with Delaware's air quality as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. Well, let's turn back to the festival. Some details on who some of the performers are. You've got quite a lineup this year.
Yeah, we're very excited about our lineup this year. Our headliner is Johnny Statz and the Delivery Boys. And they are a band from West Virginia that has a national reputation. They've been on the Delaware NBC's Today Show, CBS Evening News. They've been on Mountain Stage, which is an NPR show. They frequently perform at the Grand Ole Opry. They really have a national reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about them. If you just Google Johnny Statz and listen to him, he's been a national champion, both mandolin and guitar player.
Mm.
So he's got some amazing hands. He also is one of the things that's fun about Johnny Statz is that he is, by his day job, he doesn't give up his day job. His day job is a UPS delivery man.
Oh, how about that?
And he and some of the guys in his band are all work for UPS and practice in the evenings, on the weekends, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And he loves the interaction with his community that way, and he also is a very talented musician.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a band. It's kind of a local all-stars called New and Spare Fools, and folks who are bluegrass fans in the area would know Mickey Justice and Todd Smith of Such Fools, or John Simmons and Martin Wirtz of New and Used Bluegrass, and Wes Parks of No Spare Time. These are all local bands that people know, and these guys are friends of each other. They come together. Not sure how many other places than our festival they play, but they have come back more than once and just kind of created this really fun band. Acoustic Turnpike is a band that a lot of folks up in northern Delaware and southern New Jersey know. They are active with the Brandywine Friends of Old Time Music. And that's the organization that hosts the Delaware Valley Bluegrass Festival in Salem County.
Right.
So that's something that folks would be familiar with. Flatland Drive, they're a festival favorite. This is our third annual festival, and they're the one band that has played all 3 years. They're really, our fans really love them. And a new band this year is called Mountain Ride, which comes from South Central Pennsylvania. And they are a younger group. younger folks who are sort of that next generation of bluegrass, and they have a really fun, energetic style. We're definitely looking forward to having them. They were just at the Wilmington Wintergrass Festival as
okay,
well.
Great.
So
great.
Some folks may have gotten a little preview, but then they're going to have a chance to see them really break out down at the swamp on May 19th.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing lineup. And then you mentioned earlier that you're going to have a variety of food trucks there available. I'm looking at a printout here, Stump the Plant Expert. What is that?
So we are going to have one of our new things this year. We're going to have a native plant sale.
Okay.
There's a garden center just over the line in Maryland called How Sweet It Is, and they are sending some native plants, and so folks will have a chance to get their spring gardening going with some native plants. But there is a guy named Richard Davis, who's a nationally known plant expert that's connected with How Sweet It Is, and he said, tell them to bring their hardest plant questions,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give them free advice. So okay. It's another way for you not only can you look at some beautiful plants and maybe take something home for the garden, but if you've got some kind of question, Richard is the guy. He will be able to answer for you.
That's great. So the third annual Bald Cypress Bluegrass Festival is going to be held on May 19th, and I understand from noon to 6
yes.
p.m. We have about half a minute left, so details on where it is and how people can find out more information about it.
So the easiest way is just to go to the Delaware Wildlands website, dewildlands.org, and we have tickets and more information available. If people buy their tickets before the 5th of May, they're only $25. That's the early bird price, so it's a really good deal. And the festival is down in south central Sussex County, so for depending on where folks are coming from. But it's May 19th from 12 to 6. We hope to see you there.
Great. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul.